for the 43 years now you've given this church to be here in this community. And we're thankful for Pastor Freeman and the 41 years you gave him to us, and for the foundation that he laid. And we're thankful for the lessons that he taught each one of us as we had him as our pastor. We're thankful that he is in a far better place. And we're thankful one day we're going to see him again, and all the others that have already gone on to heaven. And it's only by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his shed blood on the cross, that we can be sure of heaven. And so we pray that if there be any in our midst today that do not know him as their Savior, that he would show them their need of salvation and have them seek one of us out. We would be more than happy to show them from the Word of God how they can know for sure they're on the way to heaven. We pray that as we celebrate the years here at this church, help us to remember what has happened in the past, but help us also to look forward, seeing that you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And may we seek your face to tell us what you would have us do in the remaining time that you have before the Lord Jesus comes again. Give us a great day. We pray that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Just a couple of announcements right now. Number one, I do have the prayer bulletins. I will give them out to you between the services. But one item that's on there I want to draw your attention to. One of our missionaries, Pete Heisey, just found this out within the last few days. He had a heart attack, and they had to put a stent in, and he is still in ICU right now. So just pray for him. Obviously, as far as I know, he's over in Romania.
Yes.
Okay, so, and that makes it even more difficult. So just pray for the family and for him in particular. And then on a happier note, coming up on the 16th of February at 1 o'clock p.m., that's a Saturday, there is a ladies' fellowship scheduled here. All right, so I want to make sure all the ladies hear about that. Saturday the 16th at 1 o'clock p.m. here at the church. So I hope you'll come and have a great time. And you'll have to tell me later how it was. All right? I won't be around. Okay. So hope you'll come and join us for that time. All right. Number 27 in the 101 book. Oh, I want to see it.
Oh,
124, He hideth my soul.
Dismissed,
let's take our Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Just started doing this memory verse. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. All right, let's say this verse together one time. Proverbs 2, 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. All right. Keep learning that. Trust it will be a blessing to you. Brother Hitchens, we will turn it over to you now for Sunday school.
Right, we're glad to see everyone here this morning. Good to be in God's house today, and good to be saved today, and good to be here for your 43rd anniversary. Amen. Ray Street Baptist Church. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 7, if you will. Actually, I've got several passages that I want to read this morning, but we're going to start with this one in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, you know, means second law. It's a repetition of, you know, the law for the new generation. There's a whole generation of Israelites that were actually born in the wilderness. You know, a lot of those people did not remember the Red Sea crossing because they hadn't been born yet. Didn't remember a lot of the miracles, you know, that took place in the wilderness. And so Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is giving an account, you know, of the journey, the law, all those things that happened, you know, for the new generation here in Deuteronomy chapter 7. But let's begin to read at verse number 1. It says, Deuteronomy 7, verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. So it's very clear here what they were supposed to do. He said, you're to smite those nations. You're to utterly destroy them. You're not to make any covenants with them. You're not to intermarry with them. And you're going to destroy all their images. So he makes it very clear what they're supposed to do there. But now look, if you will, let's skip over to Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter number 11. We're going to pray here in a minute. But look in Joshua chapter number 11. This is after they actually came into the land. Joshua chapter number 11 and verse 23. It says, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Okay, took the whole land, it says. Now look over in chapter 12 of Joshua. Look at verse 1. Joshua 12, 1. It says, now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side of Jordan toward the rising of the sun, from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon and all the plain of the east. And then look down at verse number 9. Here he begins a list of the kings and the cities that they actually conquered, starting at verse number 9. Okay, this is Joshua 12, verse 9. The king of Jericho, 1. The king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, 1. The king of Jerusalem, 1. The king of Hebron, 1. The king of Jarmuth, 1. The king of Lachish, 1. The king of Eglon, 1. The king of Gezer, 1. The king of Debir, 1. The king of Gedor, 1. The king of Harma, 1. The king of Arad, 1. The king of Libna, 1. The king of Adullam, 1. King of Makeda, 1. The king of Bethel, 1. The king of Tapua, 1. The king of Hefer, 1. The king of Aphek, 1. The king of Lasharon, 1. The king of Madon, 1. The king of Hazor, 1. The king of Shimron Meron, 1. The king of Aksaph, 1. King of Taanak, 1. The king of Megiddo, 1. King of Kadesh, 1. The king of Jotnim of Carmel, 1. The king of Dor in the coast of Dor, 1. The king of the nations of Gilgal, 1. The king of Tirzah, 1. Notice here, all the kings, 31. Okay? 31 cities, 31 kings had been captured and killed during this time. Now look over, if you will, at Judges chapter 1. We're going somewhere with this. Judges chapter number 1. And verse 21. Judges chapter 1, verse 21. It says, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Look at verses 27 through 36. Judges 1, verses 27 through 36. Here's a list now of tribes and a list of cities that they did not completely occupy. Look at verse 27. It says, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bashan and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalol, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Aksib, nor of Alib, nor of Helba, nor of Aphek, nor of Rahab. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth-Nath, but he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh and of Beth-Anath became tributaries unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in Mount Heres and Ajalon and Shalbim, yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries. And the coast of the Amorites was from the going up to Akrabim from the rock and upward. Now let's pray. Lord, thank you for this privilege we have to be here in the house of God again today. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace for Jesus most of all. Thank you for so great salvation that, Lord, we have through his precious shed blood. Lord, thank you for this 43rd anniversary of Race Free Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for the work that had been done all through the years. The folks have been saved, lives have been changed. Those that have surrendered, Lord, to serve thee. And Lord, thank you now for this time we have today. And we pray, Lord, as we look into your word, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Pray the Holy Spirit would have his way, Lord, in our hearts and lives this day. And for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you now. In Jesus' matchless name, for his sake we ask it. Amen. So God had told the people what to do when they came into the land of Canaan. When we go back there to Deuteronomy 7, he made it very clear what they were supposed to do, right? I mean, there shouldn't have been any question about it. In those six verses of Deuteronomy 7, you know, he tells them you're to utterly destroy these people. You're not to make any covenants with them. You're not to make any marriages with them. If you do, if your sons and your daughters intermarry with the Canaanites, they're going to turn your hearts away from the Lord. And so he made it very clear what they were supposed to do. Well, under Joshua, they invaded Canaan. And as you read there in Joshua, the first battles took place in the southern part of the country. In fact, they made kind of a counterclockwise sweep through the south of Canaan. Conquered, you know, most all of those cities in the southern part of Canaan. And then they made their push into the northern part. And that was more like a clockwise push into the northern part of the country. And within 7 years, as we read back there earlier, they had basically subjugated the land. 7 year period took them to do this. But the problem is, as we read here in Judges, is they didn't drive out all the Canaanites, did they? They allowed Canaanites, pockets of Canaanites, you know, to exist throughout the country. And what they did was they put them, actually they made slaves out of them, you know, put them to work. Hewers of wood, drawers of water, we're told what they did. But they didn't drive them out as God had told them to do. And so notice what we find there in the book of Judges. Remember we read about those 31 cities that had been conquered? 31 cities. But you get in there to Judges, and what you find out is that some of those cities, Canaanites came back. You know, they won the initial battle, but they didn't occupy the land. And so what happens? The Canaanites came back. And so there's an application for us because, you know, there's some typology here. The Canaanites really are a type of our old fleshly nature. It's what they're a type of. And, you know, when God saves us, you know, he wants us to drive out the sins of the old nature. We are buried with Christ in baptism, raised in newness of life. Technically, when Jesus died, we died in the reckoning of God. We're supposed to be dead to sin, right? We're not to allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies, the Bible tells us. But what happens is, you know, even though we may get some initial victories in our Christian life, if we're not careful, guess what? Guess what? The Canaanites come back, don't they? And so look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. It says all these things here in the Old Testament are for our learning and our admonition. Here's 1 Corinthians 10. Let's read a little bit here. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Did all eat the same spiritual meat? Did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, notice now, verse 6. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters were some of them, as it's written. People sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now look at verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So in other words, these things here in the Old Testament, all these things took place as far as the Israelites were concerned, but they're also a lesson for us. There's a lesson that we can draw here. When God says drive out the Canaanites, that's what he means, right? And sometimes I think we do the same things the Israelites did. We don't, drive them out completely, and guess what? They come back. Now, let me make some observations here. Based on all this, first of all, we're involved in a battle just like they were, right? Everybody agree with that? We're in a battle. And it's every day, isn't it? Sometimes you might have a tendency to think, well, I'll get to a place in my Christian life where things kind of level off and it's going to be smooth sailing. Well, pardon my English, but there ain't no such place. No, there's not. I mean, we would like for there to be a place like that. But it's really a battle every single day between the world, the flesh, and the devil. All those three things are against us. Now, before we got saved, we were just kind of floating downstream, weren't we? Going with the flow. But then when we got saved, all of a sudden, we changed course and we're headed upstream. We're headed upstream against the flow. And so, yeah, we've got the world against us. We've got the flesh against us. We've got the devil against us. And so we are in a battle. And God wants us not only to win victories, but he also wants us to occupy the territory we've won. Have you ever noticed, maybe there was some particular sin in your life that the Lord helped you to get victory over? And maybe you had victory for some time. Then guess what? All of a sudden, the Canaanites come back. Ever had that experience? Yeah, look, the old nature is not dead, is it? It's still there. And by the way, that old nature we were born with is rotten to the core. When Paul said, I know that in me that is in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing, he said. Nothing in my flesh. The only thing good about me is the Christ who lives within. Nothing of me. And the Canaanites come back. And So, the Lord wants us to win victories. And by the way, we can have victory. We can be a victorious Christian if we want to be, can't we? We got the word that tells us what to do. We have the Holy Spirit who lives within that gives us the power to do it. So we've got everything we need to live a victorious life. So if we don't, it's not God's fault, is it? It's our fault. And again, whichever way we go, if I choose to live for myself, there are consequences down the road. If I choose to live for the Lord, there are consequences better on the other side. But it's our choice, isn't it? And so God wants us to live a victorious Christian life, but he not only wants us to win the victories, but he wants us to occupy, hold that land that we won. Something else. You know, winning initial victory sometimes is easier than occupying. Isn't it? Sometimes it's easier to win the victory than it is actually to occupy, because occupying demands vigilance, doesn't it? That particular sin that I got victory over yesterday, I may be tested today on that. If not today, probably tomorrow. Or maybe the next day, or maybe next month. You know, sometimes we get victory over something. If we're not careful, we get proud of ourselves. I'm really spiritual now. Well, I got the victory over that. Yeah, watch out. Because there's a Canaanite right ready to pounce. I read about Joseph. You know, Joseph and Potiphar's wife tempted him. And if you read the text there in Genesis, it said day by day. In other words, every day he's tested along this line. Yeah. Occupying demands vigilance. And by the way, Canaanites are persistent. They are persistent, aren't they? They don't give up. And by the way, neither does the devil. The devil doesn't get up, and our old nature doesn't give up. You know, if you got saved later in life, how many got saved later in life? Quite a few. How many got saved when you were very young? That's ideal. That's the best thing. But if you got saved later in life, there were probably some things that you did or were involved in that were sinful. And do you know what? Your old nature still likes those things. I'm not saying you're going to do those things, but I'm saying your old nature still likes those things. Because the old nature doesn't change, does it? When God saved us, he didn't change our old nature. He gave us a new one, gave us a brand new nature. The new nature responds to the things of God. The new nature wants to please God, wants to go to church, you know, wants to be a witness, wants to pray, wants to read the Bible. That's all from the new nature. But guess what? The old nature still likes the old things. And given a chance, the Canaanites will take over. They absolutely will, won't they? Think about this. Forfeited territory becomes enemy territory. Those areas in our life where we want a victory, but if we're not vigilant, guess what? Canaanites come back, and that forfeited territory becomes enemy territory in our life. Do you know people that used to have victory in certain areas in their life, but they don't anymore? In fact, they may say, well, yeah, I used to think that way, you know, but I've grown. I've learned some things. Yeah. Canaanites came back. Forfeited territory becomes enemy territory in our lives. God does not want pockets of Canaanites in our lives, does he? You know, there may be some little thing in our life that we want to hold on to. And basically we're telling the Lord, stay out of there. Stay out of that room in my life, because that's for me. Well, we're not supposed to have any places like that, are we? You know, the Lord Jesus wants to have total control of our lives. That means he gets the keys to all rooms. We don't have any special little rooms, you know, that are reserved just for us. But he's to have the keys to everything. He wants to be absolute Lord of our lives. A lot of Christians want to be saved and have their sins forgiven, and they want to go to heaven. But other than that, Lord, I want to live my life. Well, that's not what he wants. And really, that's not what's best for us, is it? He wants everything in our lives. He wants total control. And that's the only way we're going to have his complete blessing. You know, if there's something we're holding out, if there's one little room that we got locked and we say, now that's mine, God's not going to be able to bless us the way he wants to. So he doesn't want any pockets of Canaanites in our lives. When we give up territory, we lose a blessing. Remember we read all those tribes there in the book of Judges? I mean, one after another of God's people who didn't drive the Canaanites out. Basically they're, you know, in control of the land overall, but individually as tribes, they're not driving the Canaanites out like they should have. Here's something else. It's harder to win back territory you've given up. It is, isn't it? If there's some territory in our lives that we've given up, it's harder to win that back. All of us know people that maybe used to go to church and used to be involved in the things of God, you know, maybe used to sing in the choir, used to teach Sunday school class, but now they're completely out of church. What happened? Well, Canaanites came back. And, you know, when folks start dropping off, usually prayer meeting is the first one to go. That one drops off. And then Sunday night drops. Well, you don't have Sunday, but you will when you get a pastor. You have Sunday night again. Sunday night drops off. And the last one to go usually is Sunday morning. And then folks are just out of church. And, you know, once you get out, it's hard to get back in, isn't it? We are creatures of habit. And it's good to have good habits. So we've talked about this before. We're all creatures of habit. And it's good to have the right kind of habits. But we can also develop some bad habits, can't we? My wife and I got saved in 1965. And I got saved, well, she got saved on Thursday night. I got saved on Sunday night. We have our prayer meeting on Thursday night. Is yours Thursday? Yours is Wednesday. Well, anyhow, Thursday night rolled around. We went to prayer meeting. And every time the doors were open, we wanted to be there. And by God's grace, we have been. We don't have relatives come to visit us on Sunday morning or Sunday night. I mean, they're welcome to come. They're welcome to go to church with us. If they don't want to go to church, they're welcome to stay at home until we get home, but we're going to church. that's a good habit to develop as a Christian. Being faithful in the house of God, right? Well, when you get out of church, though, it's hard to get back, isn't it? It's hard to win back territory you've given up. Then this, the grace of God, which helps us to win battles, also helps us occupy. God helps us to win battles, and he helps us to occupy once we've won the battle. Well, these are just some observations. Is our time... Pardon me? We got some time yet? Well, let me just give you some reasons for giving up territory that was once occupied. You know, why did they do this? Why did the Israelites give up some of this territory? Well, they evidently must have forgot God's command in Deuteronomy 7, because he made it very clear there, didn't he? If you read those six verses of Deuteronomy 7, pretty clear what they were supposed to do. So evidently those folks forgot that, right? Or their fellowship with the Lord became stale. That's a problem we have, isn't it? If we're not careful. Think back to when you first got saved. You were walking on cloud nine, weren't you? Telling everybody about it. I had this crazy idea that everybody believed the same thing when they were Christians. Very naive at the age of 23. I found out a lot later that wasn't the case. But was excited about being in church, excited about the things of God. One of the fellows had a Bible study on Monday night, and a whole bunch of us young couples were involved in that Bible study. Couldn't wait to get there. Such a great blessing. Wednesday night was visitation. Thursday night was prayer meeting. I mean, every time the doors opened, we wanted to be there. We were excited. And that's the way it should be. But what happens is that as time goes on, that excitement dies down. And we become mellow. And we fall into a rut, don't we? That our fellowship with the Lord gets stale. By the way, that happens in marriages, doesn't it? It does. And so we have to, you know, keep the love relationship alive. And that takes work. You got to work at that, don't you? Salvation is free. It's by grace through faith. But our fellowship with the Lord, it takes some definite determination on our part, doesn't it? Keep our hearts and lives clean, to stay in fellowship with Him. Someone has said this, our relationship to Christ is so strong, nothing can ever break it. Our fellowship with Him is so fragile, the least sin can break it. It doesn't take much to get out of fellowship, does it? No, it doesn't. Well, their fellowship became stale. After the initial conquest, they left areas unguarded. Spells trouble. How about this? They underestimated the Canaanites. Don't underestimate the flesh. Our old fleshly nature is sneaky. And just about the time you think you've got it whipped, guess what? It comes back, and comes back with a vengeance sometimes. I know guys today that are out of the ministry because of this. They didn't maintain vigilance. And I'm not talking about novices. I'm talking about guys that were up in years, had been in the ministry for a long time. We need that vigilance, don't we? Underestimated the Canaanites. How about this? They grew weary in well-doing. Yeah, sometimes that happens. And you know, when you're weary, you're vulnerable, aren't you? Yeah. You're more vulnerable when you're weary. Maybe they became satisfied with the status quo. We like our comfort zone, don't we? It's much easier to tolerate the Canaanites there than it is to try to drive them out. We'll just leave them. They grew weak. Remember, it says when they were strong. Remember we read that? When they were strong, they didn't drive them out. They could have, but they didn't. Then they grew weak. They developed a tolerant attitude towards the Canaanites. Well, they're not so bad after all. And sometimes folks think, well, that sin's not so bad. I know a lot of folks a lot worse than me. Look, all sin is bad, isn't it? Amen? Amen. Look, sin, and we have this tendency sometimes to kind of categorize sins. God said it's all sin's a transgression of His holy law. It was what nailed the Lord Jesus to the cross, isn't it? Our sins. And so that thing that seems so innocent, no, it's sin. And we're not to have a tolerant attitude towards it, are we? But we're to recognize it for what it is, confess it, and forsake it. Then they grew apathetic. And they took God's blessings for granted. Well, the way the story ends is not a good one, is it? You know how the story ends. These people began to intermarry with the Canaanites. And guess what? In Judges, we have these very sad words. In fact, let's turn over here to Judges chapter number 2, I believe it is. Yeah, Judges chapter number 2. They allowed the Canaanites to remain in the land. They began to intermarry with the Canaanites. And then it says, look in Judges chapter 2, verse number 8. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers." Now look at this. "And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." What a sad state. That should be one of the saddest statements in all the Bible. A whole generation of Israelites. These are God's people. God's redeemed people, right? Whole generation of Israelites rose up and didn't know the Lord. All because of what happened starting back there in their disobedience to Deuteronomy 7. They allowed the Canaanites to remain in the land. They began to intermarry with them. Pretty soon they're worshiping their gods. And now here's a whole generation that grows up unsaved, didn't know the Lord. Very sad story, isn't it? Thing is, it didn't have to happen. It did not have to happen, did it? And for us, we don't have to live a life dominated by the flesh. We don't have to. We don't have to live that kind of life. God wants us to live the victorious life. And we can. If we'll do what he says, allow the Spirit of God to take control, deal with those Canaanites in our lives, win the victory, but then not only do we win it, but we occupy. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to his word. And let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who takes it and applies it to our hearts. Lord, help us, I pray, to deal with those things in our lives that displease thee. Help us to win the victory. And then not only to win the victory, but Lord, to occupy. Help us to occupy till you come. Help us to live for you with all of our hearts now. Bless, we pray, as we go in the morning service. And for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you now. In Jesus' matchless name, for his sake we ask it. Amen.